This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. Marianne, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Carm. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. You've just become a great friend and a wonderful contributor to the show, and we sure do appreciate that. Croce Transmission Specialist in Norwalk, Connecticut. We're going to have a tour of her place, and we're coming to you live from the Dorman OE Fix Studio. So great to have Dorman as a partner on Aftermarket Weekly. So, Marianne, how's business?
Business is booming, right? We're hearing that from so many shop owners. We have a lot of work. You know, we have to, just play this out. We have to adjust because things have changed a little bit. But we have to enjoy this ride after the issues that we had in the early days of COVID.
Yeah, well, I'm happy for you guys. How long has the business been there?
We opened in 99.
99?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's been a long time. It has 22 years.
Yeah, 22 years. Wow. That 98 rings a bell for me. So thank you for reminding me how important the late 90s were, just before, of course, the whole world was going to crash when we went into Y2K. Hey, a high five out to a great new product from Dorman. Hey, we all know that fixing cars is different than how the OE builds them. Now, take fuel lines, for instance. Fuel lines run and rust along with the chassis of the vehicle by nature. Now, especially in the colder months, trucks can be exposed to snow, salt, or rain, causing failure due to the corroded fittings, deterioration in the line. Now, to help you in your wallet, Dorman Products team of engineers have redesigned the typical fuel line. Introducing Dorman's flexible stainless steel braided fuel lines. Made from braided stainless steel over flexible PTFE tubing, this upgraded material features a corrosion-resistant design. Each fuel line is an exact fit with the dimensions of each application. Now, improved durability is the highlight of this new design. This innovation is a Dorman OE fix, which means it's something that the original manufacturer doesn't offer. These fuel lines are quality assured and backed by their team of product experts and more than a century of automotive experience. Hey, want to learn more about Dorman's innovations? Visit dormanproducts.com/tour. Hey, one of my French roast salutes to Mary Ann for all the great stuff you've done with me on the show. You know, we've done shows on mental toughness. Businesses grow when the owner grows. We've done shows on advice to a new business owner. You were on the 400th anniversary. The Town Hall Academy on Don't Be a Micromanager, and Back Office Operations. There were two episodes you did with a bunch of the ladies out there. And speaking of the 400th, the 700th Remarkable Results Radio is coming up in the, I think it's December 10th that it airs. So while I am so excited about, you know, you had all the shows, all the different venues we had, Town Hall Academy, For the Record, Remarkable Results Radio, Aftermarket Weekly, we have over 1,000 some shows. So thank you everyone for hanging out there. Our listenership is growing incredible. I think the industry, is, I can't say it's taken 6 years, but finally I think there's some incredible movement in shop owners wanting to better their business, their life, their people, their families. Well, look, Marianne, let's talk about the craziness of our lives. And I got to tell you, I know that you want to talk about how life happens and how sometimes life just dumps on us.
Exactly. That's exactly what happens. You know, we can have the best laid plans, but then all of a sudden, life happens, right? And when things don't go as you planned, how do you handle it? So the most recent thing that happened to Tony and I was we switched over our shop management software. So that's a big transition. Huge, right? Not only do you have to understand it as an owner, but each department has to understand that. Also in that process, had to get some new computers, and we had to update some accounting software as well. So we had a team member who was out during all of this, unplanned emergency, things happen, life happens. And we were faced with that learning curve, but we had to do this while continuing to do business as usual to like really best serve our team. How do you handle that? Because as shop owners, we know that life happens, things happen, we can have the best laid plans, but day to day, right? Things, emergencies come up and we have to be able to deal with it. So that's really what I wanted to talk about is how do you handle those things?
I really forgot to mention that Marianne is also a coaching consultant and her company is smallbizvantage.com. That's why Marianne is she's so good. I mean, the advice she gives has been phenomenal. And I know she's just a phenomenal coach and consultant. By the way, this whole life happens thing, talk about what COVID has done to so many. I mean, our family, we have an incident of COVID in my family, my son. And everyone had to go out and stop, can't go anywhere, get the tests. So as life happens in the kind of, if you will, the whatever post-COVID, we have to not get so stressed out and stop and put a plan together and figure out, okay, how are we going to get up and over this?
Exactly. And then take action on that plan. So those systems and processes, the framework, something that we could rely on, because when life happens, when you're stressed, I find that there's frustration for all of us. And that's usually not the time when we make the best decisions. But if we have a framework, a system, a process that we could rely on and say, okay, you know, we're in something right now. What do? It really helps.
Shop management system, new computers, OMG. Did you bring any great slides for us so that we can check some stuff out? So walk us through this.
It's human nature that when change happens in our life, that we're going to go through these different stages of change. And the first one, and this even goes back to when I was in corporate in my banking days, the first one is, oh no. Right? It's kind of like shock, right? What do you mean we're going to go with a new software system? I like the old one, you know, that type of thing. So, or we've always done it that way. So it's a shock and it's a little bit of denial as well. People can get frustrated with that, tends to lead to that next step, that frustration.
What just came over me, Marianne, was anyone who's listening to this or viewing this video, as life happens in your business, as you decide to make change in your business, be it going from paper to paperless, moving to a DVI, changing software programs, buying a new piece of equipment, committing to a great training program, realize as a leader of your business, these human emotions that Marianne is talking about are going to happen inside your business. The opportunity for this episode is to help you recognize this denial and shock piece and how you go to the bottom, lowest part of the curve and how you help not only yourself, but in many cases, your team get up and over it into acceptance. So I just wanted to say that this is so important in the life we're leading today.
And as a leader, to your point, Carm, we need to be an example for our team. So how we're showing up, when you look at it this way, how we're showing up really can either hold back the team or help the team. So when you go through this denial and shock, and it may not necessarily be you, this could even be team members that you may be getting a little bit of pushback from. The first part of that is, I'm used to what I'm doing. I know it well. So that's the mindset a lot of times when we go into denial. I don't want this to be happening. Then that leads to frustration because, you know, you have someone say who's on the counter in front of people and they don't want to look silly or feel foolish. Like they don't know what they're doing. They've been doing what they've done for years and they're really good at it. So now there's a little bit of that frustration in people. How long is it going to take me to figure this out? All of that. Is it going to affect my job? And some people will actually get angry and may lash out a little bit. Like, you know, they don't believe it. Show me, prove it. Those type of kind of comments that they'll say. and they don't feel like they're going to really align with what's happening. The next stage is when people realize that this is happening and it's not a choice, it really is going to happen. They get to a point where they're starting to accept it. And now they're actually going in and trying to figure out whether it's a new piece of equipment, as you said, or software, digital vehicle inspections, shop management software like we did, even if it's a change in your systems and processes at work, they start to accept it and they start to explore. They're learning new features. They're learning more about it to see how it can help them in their role. And then we get to commitment and rebuilding. And then when you get commitment and rebuilding, people are actually sharing and saying, oh, did you see this feature? Or I know how we could use this. I have another idea. You get a lot of collaboration at that stage as well. And it's funny because people will go through these different stages differently. Some people will go through them quicker. Some people will go through them slower. But as a leader, as an owner, a manager, and I go back to my banking days with this when I was in management and we had a new software system that we were using, and we got a lot of pushback, and it was up to the managers to transition their team. So the difference, if you go to the next slide, is when you have a pro mindset, the time in denial or frustration is very short. And you go right to acceptance and you go into that exploration phase and commitment and rebuilding. You don't spend a lot of time. And now we're talking, the difference is speed. You're going to get there quicker.
I have a question. I have a team of six people. We're going to make a major change in the company. They're going to go through the denial and shock and be at the bottom of this J curve of change, frustration and anger. And like you said, they may come up and out at different times. In order to recognize and move to the commitment and rebuilding phase and putting this team together inside of this change, do they all have to be there together, or am I going to walk people through this individually?
I think you walk people through it and you meet them where they're at. So if there's someone who's going through it quicker and they're more positive, I think that would be a great person to help others through it. If they figured out something in the software and someone else is struggling with it, those are usually the people that would jump right on board and say, oh, you know, I'll help so-and-so with that. I can get them through that.
So you're recruiting people that have already, they're at the commitment stage.
Exactly.
Cool.
So this is a framework. When you think about change and what we're going through, this is a framework that I have relied on personally and professionally. And I have to give kudos, because I didn't make this up. I have to give kudos to Gary Vaynerchuk, because I actually had a time with him that I was on one of his shows that he did. And I was able to ask a leadership question. And he broke this down very quickly, and then I unpacked it for us in the automotive space. So the POP framework stands for positivity, optimism, and practicality. You need all three for this to work. If you just have positivity and you're a very optimistic person, that's all great. You're upbeat. But if you're missing practicality, the world will see you as delusional and they won't take you seriously. So you really need that practicality piece as well.
So in the practicality thing, you don't want me to be a dreamer. You want me to live in the real world?
I'm going to explain in detail what it means on the next slide. But yeah, practicality is a big, big part. That's like the reality check of what's going on in your space. So this is how it works. How am I able to be positive? Where does my positivity come from? So I looked at it and I said, well, it's because I create a plan. When you don't have a plan, you feel like there's a lack of control. When you do put a plan in place, you actually feel like you've gaining control. And we've done that through COVID. That was a major thing. Shops had to create a plan of how they were going to handle it. So what you're actually doing is listing your activities or steps that are going to get you to your goal. And you want to stay focused and you want to set deadlines, because deadlines and staying focused are what actually make you do the things. Planning is one thing, but planning alone won't get you there. You have to actually take the steps needed and create deadlines for yourself. What we did in our situation was Tony and I, with the new software, we sat down and we looked at it as a project. We didn't look at it like this was going to be some big thing that was just going to be hanging over our heads. It's a project. And it took a couple of weeks, but we put some time in and we did some training on the weekends at home. And we were more comfortable when we went in and we were better able to help our team and show them the different parts of the software that worked for them. And we had a deadline. We knew what we were going to be able to do, and it worked. Optimism is when you reflect to gain clarity. So a lot of times when you're going through change, you're not clear, you're unclear, because it's all new to you. But when you reflect and you say, wait a minute, I've been through some tough stuff before. Right? What have you gone through? And what have you learned from that? Because there's always lessons. A lot of people say, you know, don't look, always look forward, never look behind. And I disagree with that, because the best lessons come from where you've been. If you beat yourself up over it, a mistake or a learning lesson that you had, yeah, then you're looking at it in a negative way. But if you look at it to learn, it's going to make you stronger. So what have you been through that actually made you stronger? So when you sit there and you go, okay, I've been through some tough stuff, but you know what? I'm going to get through this. So it's optimism. You're very optimistic. And then the last piece is the practicality. That is the reality check. And this is where you gain confidence, because you can plan all you want. You can plan as a business owner. You can even plan as a tech. But what happens when you actually do, and you've worked on the vehicles and you get more efficient, more proficient, and you get better at it? That's when you gain confidence. You gain confidence by doing. So what I suggest for this is you assess your resources available and how much will it take of the resources. And there's only four resources. We can complicate this, but every single shop has the same four resources. We may have different amounts of them, but it's time. It's your time or someone else's time. How long is it going to take, in our case, to learn this software? We broke it down into pieces, and that helped. Then it was money. What was the budget? What was this going to cost? We ended up having to update some of our computers, and we have to update some accounting software. So we factored that all in. And then people. Can we delegate or can we outsource when we have a challenge? So we decided to delegate the different training videos to the different people that fit their roles. And that way it wasn't so much on one person, and then we could collaborate and help one another. And then skills, that's also a resource. Is it a skill that you have or your team has, or is it one to build? And what is the value of building that skill?
Unbelievable. You always bring such great commonsensical solutions to each and every day problems that we have. I think you really summed it up well. So here's the bottom line. Face your challenges, learn from your successes and your failures, and deal with it, because you're the leader of your organization. No one else is going to do it. They're going to look to you. They're going to look to you for, okay, boss, what do we do next? You're spinning out of control. So will the rest of your team.
And if you empower them, they'll actually know what to do next.
So thank you for helping us crystallize Life Happens. Okay, just a few things that we have done so successfully this week for you. Short-term goals will change your behavior. Bob Cooper did one hell of an episode. I think this is a life-changing episode. Every time I get with Bob, he motivates me to some of the highest levels. Please invest in this. And Marianne, you know, I know you consult with other businesses. This is an episode for any business person, any leader to want to listen to. Bob crystallizes behaviors as it relates to goal setting. Coaching CEOs to Their Next Level came out last Thursday. an excellent, I a lot of comments on social media not to miss this episode. And of course, Margaret Palango became the CEO of Auto Shop Solutions. And we had her first interview after that. So we were so happy for that. Hey, I think it's time for our tour.
This day it had just poured and we were so fortunate that the sun came out. This is the parking lot of our shop. We have a very long, narrow, deep parking lot. So we have to juggle the vehicles. Yeah, this is our waiting area. We don't have a lot of waiters. Being a transmission shop, we're really by appointment only, but we do have an area. This is a wall. We actually didn't have time to put everything back up because we just had our annual shop cleanup. So we have more things to go up there. But there's some local things on here. We sponsor go-karts. And it's amazing how many people come in and recognize the photos and know exactly what it is. And it was pretty exciting. And then we have some certificates that the technicians had earned and, you know, some, you know, different things from the chamber awards that we have won. But it's amazing when you're involved in the community, how many people, you know, recognize that. So we're a small shop. We only have about 3,800 square feet, a little over 3,800 square feet. So we are a tiny shop. We have two other businesses in our building, tenants, because we purchased the building a few years back. So we make the most of it. We're small, but we use every bit of space. So we have some basically cleaning supplies over there on a shelf with COVID. You know, you have to have accessibility to masks and all that. And we have a coffee area there that customers and the shop can come in, the techs can come in. We didn't really have a big area as far as parts, but okay. So that's the restroom that we use for the public. It's simple, but we keep it, you know, simple and clean. We don't really have a lot of people that come in, as I said, our waiters. So we have this small area here, and this is where our parts would come in. There's actually three shelves there, and they're labeled, and it was perfect before. But now that we're booming, we have to restructure a little bit differently of the parts situation, because with the delays and having to push cars outside, we're having more, you know, parts coming in. So we're going to restructure this area, and we may take a little space in the shop to do that. But those three shelves worked out fine for years.
Those are good growing pains.
Exactly. Now we're going down the hallway there, and this is our lunch meeting area. Again, it's a small area, but we make the most of it. We have a computer in there, a kitchen set up, and I believe I might have gone around the other side where we have, you know, microwave, toaster, oven, things like that. Yeah, just to set it up so that people could come in. When we were full blown in the COVID mode, because this room is a small room, we did our meetings in the shop. But everyone is comfortable now, so we're back into doing meetings in there. Now we are a transmission shop, so we have a lot of transmission work.
What's the percentage of transmission business versus normal automotive?
Yeah, we were always about 75% transmission work and maybe 25% general repair. And I categorized it that way. But I have to say that, I mean, when you're doing transmission work, they may need a radiator. When you're doing transmission work, they may need so it was associated with the transmission work. Now we're a little higher. We have a waste oil heater that we use, that red piece of equipment there. We have a waste oil heater that we use for heat. That is a parts room. It's not a huge parts room. We don't stock as much as we used to years ago. You get overnight delivery a lot of times. But we do have, you know, some stuff there. And when I say that we use like every bit of space, I think this is when I panned up.
Okay. Look at that. Yes.
We have a flight of stairs going up there to that ledge. We use every bit of space in a small shop.
What do you use, a forklift to move them?
No, we don't use a forklift. It's usually like chains or we have a flight of stairs at the end. So each technician has their own laptop. We did that. But we have four lifts. The one on the very end there is a truck lift. And what we ended up doing was we put a winch on the truck lift because a lot of the trucks that come in don't move. And we'd make it really hard for them to get sure. on yeah, the that's lift.
Smart. Yeah.
So that's what we ended up doing. Yeah, so I went upstairs so that you can kind of see the whole shop.
It's the drone shot.
Yeah, there you go, right? High ceilings, that was a must. We needed high ceilings so that we can put trucks on there. And a power pusher helps as well. That's a tool that's invaluable to us because, again, a lot of the vehicles, when they come in, they're towed in and they do not move. So that helps, yeah. So we actually have this space, one of our tenants in front, we have them. And we also had the warehouse that you saw at the end with the dock there was a carpet place as well. So we have a lot of traffic coming in and out. The street is very busy. We're a city. We're in a city. And there was a study done that Tony and I went to, a traffic study that was done. We have 26 to 27,000 vehicles that drive by our shop every day. And this is for our drop-off. This worked out really well. When people want to come pick up their vehicles after hours, we send them a link so that they can make the payment. And then we put their key in one of the key boxes with a code in it. And they're able to come and pick up their vehicle, you know, whenever they want. And I think the last image here was of the team in front. We have a customer service rep and our service advisor as well, Tony. And we have Christina, who she's a customer service person, but she really does so much for us. She's the first one to answer the phones. We have a kind of like a chain, right? She's the first one. Tony's the next person. And when I'm there, because I'm usually in maybe 1 to 2 days a week, and I'm the third person. So this way we know who's getting the phones. And yeah, it works out really well.
So nice to see, as we talked about last week, a lived-in shop. And,
yes.
And let's just say it like it really is. It's busy.
It's busy. And it's funny, that first picture that you showed in the shop, that was actually a picture I think we might have even posted on social media where they were like cleaning out the bays or sweeping and the bays were empty. That is a annual, we clean up every week. But that is an annual cleanup that we do where the floors get washed, everything gets scrubbed down, repainted. And that was a photo that we did.
Thank you for the tour. Thank you for the great wisdom early on how to deal with life, how to actually come up with a little format, a little chart, a little, some leadership points on how we could live, get through life. Don't forget, we're on YouTube. We're on all kinds of social media. This episode will release as a public podcast this coming Saturday. And next week, Justin Fricke from Cart Time Auto Center is going to be with us for some great, cool wisdom that he's got to share and a shop tour. Marianne Croce, thank you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and being my friend.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. And I look forward to seeing you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.